ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं दधाति सुपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीजटापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणालग्नतान्वितं स्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते। तप्ता कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धोभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः।
श्री चैतन्य
श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द
चंद्र
श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, I've done it again. I've told everyone to turn off the AC and the fan and everything, and now it's going to be too stuffy and hot. So what should we turn on? The AC or the
Should we
fan?
open the windows more?
Will that be enough? Or should we turn on a fan
Yeah,
or
we
an
just
AC?
turn off the fan and then open the windows.
Okay, fan won't be too loud? I don't think so.
No, it's
Okay, let's do that. Gets a little stuffy, right? Been asked to speak this evening from Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll speak from where I've been personally reading, which is 5th canto, chapter 10, concerning Jadbharat. The Jadbharat was the third incarnation of Maharaj Bharat. As the king of the world, Maharaj Bharat retired from family life and went off to the forest for meditation. But somehow he became distracted by a small, helpless little deer. The deer was orphaned, and Bharat took charge of taking care of the deer, but he became so infatuated with the deer, so obsessed with the deer, that he forgot about his, couldn't concentrate any longer on his meditation. He'd be meditating, and while meditating, he'd be thinking about the deer. So his mind was distracted by the little deer. And at the time of death, also, he remembered that deer. And therefore, yam yam vapam, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajatyante kalevaram, tam tam evaiti kaunteya, sadatad bhava bhavatam. Whatever one thinks of at the time of death determines one's next destination. So, thinking of a deer, he became a deer. But in the body of a deer, by Krishna's grace, he could remember that this was the situation. I was king of the world. I renounced everything for spiritual advancement, and I became attracted to a deer, and now I've got this body of a deer. So, in the deer's body, he didn't waste time. he went, if I recall, to Haridwar for getting spiritual benefit. And therefore, in his next, because Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya, Trayate Mahatobaya, Neha Vikramanasho Sti Pratyavaya Nibhidhita. Even a little advancement in spiritual life can save one from the greatest danger. And whatever progress one makes is never lost. So in his next life, he was born as the son of a Brahmin. But he deliberately hid his Brahminical qualifications and pretended to be foolish. Therefore, he was called Jhadparat, Dalparat. He pretended to be dumb and foolish also. Everything he would do wrong, he couldn't. His father tried to teach him how to chant the Gayatri Mantra, he did everything backwards. Everything he would do wrong. So his brothers also used to insult him, and he was put in charge of some watching after the animals, if I recall. And many other things happened, but finally he was picked up by the palanquin carriers of one king, Rahugana Maharaj. You need a certain number of men to carry the palanquin. They were short one man. So they saw, here's a good, strong, sturdy man. So we'll pick him up to fill the gap. So they made him the palanquin carrier, along with the others. But he was out of sync with the others, because while walking, he would be very careful not to step even on an ant. So he was looking ahead, seeing where he'd step, and therefore the king was getting a rough ride. Because instead of thinking about the king's comfort, he was thinking about the ants, not being very careful not to step on. The other palanquin carriers didn't care. They were just moving. So the king, "Hey, what are you guys doing? Don't you know how to carry?" And they "It's not us, it's not us, it's this new man." So then, again, after being rebuked, the carriers were giving a rough ride. So Maharaj Rahugana again rebuked this new man. Said, "You must be very foolish." He sarcastically criticized him in different ways. "Oh, maybe you must be very tired. You're a very skinny fellow. And you're not able to carry the palanquin." Jhadparat was very strong and stout, but the king would criticize him that way. And in different ways, he sarcastically criticized him and threatened also that, "Carry this palanquin right or you're going to get it." Then Jhadparat answered, that, "Sir, I'm neither thin nor fat. I'm neither this nor that," essentially saying that I'm not this body. "And you're thinking that you're the king, but actually you're also not this body." And elaborately, he drove this point home to the king, that you're speaking as if you're the king and as if I'm your palanquin carrier, but you're speaking in ignorance, because this is all in the bodily concept of life. Then the king, who was intelligent, understood, oh, he's an advanced Mahatma, highly self-realized soul, so I've committed a great offense. And he submitted himself before Drupada for spiritual enlightenment. So then we come to this verse. Tanme bhavan nara devabhimana madena tuchikrita sattamasya krishishta maitri drisham arthabandho yatatare sad avadhyanam angaha. Whatever you have spoken appears to me to be contradictory. O best friend of the distressed, I have committed a great offense by insulting you. I was puffed up with false prestige due to possessing the body of a king. For this, I have certainly become an offender. Therefore, I pray that you kindly glance at me with your causeless mercy. If you do so, I can be relieved from sinful activities brought about by insulting you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that by offending a Vaishnav, one finishes all his spiritual activities. Offending a Vaishnav is considered the mad elephant offense. A mad elephant can destroy an entire garden which has been developed with great labor. One may attain the topmost platform of devotional service, but somehow or other, if he offends a Vaishnav, the whole structure collapses. Unconsciously, King Ruhugana offended Drupadat, but due to his good sense, he asked to be excused. This is the process by which one can be relieved from a Vaishnav aparad. Krishna is always very simple and by nature merciful. When one commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnav, one must immediately apologize to such a personality so that his spiritual advancement may not be hampered. Tanme bhavan nara devabhimana madena tuchikrita sattamasya krishishta maitri drishamartha bandho yatatare sad avadhyanam anga. Nara devabhimana madena. Madena means madness, by madness. What is that madness? Nadadeva abhiman. Nadadeva means a god among men. King is supposed to be the representative of God. Naranam cha naradhipam. He's the head of the whole state. And Nadadeva, the representative of God. But Nadadeva Abhiman, that's actually a temporary designation. No one is actually a king, no one is actually a Brahmin, no one is actually a rich man, no one is actually a husband, no one is actually a wife, no one is actually a son, no one is actually a daughter, no one is actually anything in relationship to this body, because we're not this body. Now, the king was Abhiman. Abhiman means proud. He had pride. Abhiman. Conceit. He had conceit. Thinking, I am the king. How dare this palanquin carrier neglect my orders? It was like Daksha. He was thinking that, who is this Shiva, who's neglected to stand when I enter the assembly. I'm his father-in-law, and I'm the Prajapati. He was thinking that how could he have neglected me, and therefore he insulted Lord Shiva out of conceit arising from the bodily concept of life. Although Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yatasham, Daksha insulted him, thinking, I'm his father-in-law, I'm in a superior position. Similarly, Ruhugana Maharaj, I'm the king, not a Dev Abhiman. And therefore, Madena, out of that madness, he insulted a great soul. We've seen this happen. Someone gets a big post, someone gets a big, a big post. He becomes a big man. And then he starts thinking that, yes, I'm superior. And then he insults Vaishnavas. And then he loses his position. One may be a very serious Vaishnava, seriously chanting, seriously hearing, seriously serving, doing very big service. But if he commits offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, then his progress can be checked. He can fall from his position. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called the Vaishnava Parad Hati Mata. Hati means elephant. You ever gotten close to an elephant?
No.
Elephants are enormously powerful. You know, they're lumbering along like a big, fat elephant, yeah. But that trunk is enormously powerful. It's all muscles. So if the elephant, for example, if he wraps his trunk around your arm and wants to throw you, you are thrown. It's just powerful. They pick up logs, pick up anything. Powerful, powerful trunk. Apart from the body of the elephant, the feet of the elephant, sometimes in some countries it's a method of execution that they put you on the ground and have the elephant step on your head. That's a quick method of execution. The elephant is very, very powerful. And if the elephant becomes mad, then that weight is going in every direction. Even a human being, if he becomes mad, sometimes he's very hard to pin down. You see, some scene from a movie, some guy is going crazy. It takes five guys to hold him down. People get extraordinarily strong sometimes. Their mind becomes, they forget any inhibiting factor, and they just throwing their full weight into whatever it is that they're doing. And he's going in every direction. It takes so many men to hold him down. And that's just a puny human being, what to speak of an elephant. So if an elephant goes mad, he just tears up everything. So you can imagine, you've tended a nice little garden and you've fenced it in very carefully, and you've carefully watered your tender little plant, and you've pulled out the weeds, and you've watched your plant grow. Every day you come and you see how the plant's getting the benefit of the sunshine, how the plant is getting enough water, not too much, not too little, but sufficient water. And any little bugs, you make sure that they're chased off so that your plant will grow luxuriantly and will give fruits and flowers. But if a mad elephant comes into your garden, nothing you can do. Just comes in bellowing and moving its trunk this way and that way and throwing its body around and stomping. Here, everything can become smashed. Everything is smashed. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the Vaishnava aparad, offense to a Vaishnava, is like a mad elephant. There's a plant of devotional service, bhakti lata. One gets the seed from the bona fide spiritual master. One plants the seed very carefully, waters it by hearing and chanting, follows so many rules and regulations, and seriously engages in service. One follows the whole process very nicely. But if one commits Vaishnava aparads, everything can be ruined. Everything can be ruined. Because Krishna takes it very seriously. If one gets the mercy of a Vaishnava, very quickly he can get the mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasadad, bhagavat prasadad. And yasya prasadad, nakatir devotee. If one displeases the pure devotee, one is nowhere. Spiritual master especially, if one offends the spiritual master. But any Vaishnava. Sadhavo hridyam mayam, sadhavo hridyam tvaham. The Lord says, the devotees are in my heart and I'm in the heart of the devotees. They don't know anyone but me, so I don't know anyone but them. In the third canto, the Lord says, I would cut off my right arm for my devotees. The Duras Muni offended Maharaj Ambarish, and even though he fled all over the universe, he couldn't be saved. The Lord sent his Sudarshan Chakra chasing the Muni. You've offended my pure devotee. And although the Muni went everywhere seeking shelter, he couldn't get shelter anywhere. Finally he went to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu said, I also won't give you shelter. But then he had to go to Maharaj Ambarish. Sir, I've committed a great offense. Please forgive me. So Vaishnava is very merciful by nature. Of course, Ambarish Maharaj at once forgave him. But he had to go through so much trouble. Jai and Vijay also. They offended the Kumaras. Although they were thinking, we're the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. We're these children who are trying to get in. They're blocking their way. And the Kumaras became offended. And Lord Vishnu took the side of the Kumaras. But these Jai and Vijay, you're supposed to be my men, my representatives. So how does it look if the representatives of the king offend someone? Then it's as if the king has committed the offense. You've offended these great devotees. And now you have to fall to the material world. Now, there are many, many examples. Saubhari Muni offended Garuda and fell from his yogic practice. Many examples. One has to be very careful about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. It said that he would never even hear blasphemy of a Vaishnava. To blaspheme a Vaishnava is the first offense in chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And even hearing blasphemy of a devotee is polluting. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he would never even hear. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, never hear. If someone would begin to criticize the Vaishnava, all I know is that the Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of the Lord. He wouldn't hear it. One has to be so careful not to offend the devotees of the Lord. By pleasing the devotees, our business is to please the devotees. When the devotees are pleased, then Krishna is pleased. One is advised to try to get the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees, to become the servant of the servant of the devotees, and not to offend the devotee. So suppose someone, out of ignorance, offends a Vaishnava. That's the quality of ignorance in the Bhagavad Gita. The qualities of the persons in the three modes of nature are described. And the quality of ignorance is there. Let's see. See if we find it. Maybe 18th chapter. Ayukta prakrita stabdha shato naiskritiko dashaha vishadi dirgasutri cha karta tamasuchite. The different kinds of actors are described. Mukta sango nahambadi drityutsaha samanditaha siddhya siddhyur nirvikara karta sattvika uchite. Is Bhagavad Gita about the devotee person acting in goodness? Mukta sanga, he's freed from material association. Nahambadi, he doesn't think, I'm this body. He doesn't think, I'm the doer. He knows that I'm not actually doing anything. Everything is done by the modes of nature, by Krishna's energy. Still, drityutsaha samanvitaha. He knows, it's my duty to work anyway. So he works with determination, dhriti, and utsaha. Enthusiasm. Not to get something, not to out of false pride, but simply because yes, that's my duty. Siddhya siddhyor nirvikara. And he's not affected by whether he's successful or unsuccessful. That's beside the point. I have to work because it's my duty to work. I may be a success, I may be a failure. That's all right. But I have to do my prescribed duties. Siddhya siddhyor nirvikara. Yes. Sometimes our attempt may be successful, sometimes unsuccessful. Just like Prabhupada, he came to America And in New York, he had so many failures, actually. He made so many attempts. Or even before coming to America, he tried to start a League of Devotees in Jhansi. Before that, he thought, let me build a big business and make money to support the preaching. That failed. He thought, let me start a place in Jhansi. That failed. Then he came to New York, and there were so many setbacks in New York also. And throughout his preaching, although the society spread all over the world, sometimes there was a failure also. Sometimes there'd be a program and no one would come. Sometimes thousands of people would come. But Srila Prabhupada continued under all circumstances. Sometimes it didn't matter. He would continue his work. Siddhya Siddhyor Nirvikara Karta Sati Pujita. That's the symptom of the person in the mode of goodness, or the transcendental stage also. Ragi Karma Pala Prepsur Lutho Himsatmako Shuchihi Harsha Shokandita Karta Radhasa Parikirtita. And the person in the mode of passion, Ragi, he's very much attached to the result of his work. Ragi. Karma Pala Prepsur. He's focused on getting some results. Let's see what it says first. Karma Pala Prepsur. He's very much interested in the result of his work. That's the point for him. If there's some good result, he'll work. If there's not going to be a profit for him, forget it. Why should I work unless I'm going to get my cut, my profit? Karma pala prepsur libdho, very greedy, and himsatmaka. He'll be violent also for getting his result, or envious. Prabhupada translates envious. Himsa means violence. Out of envy of others, he'll commit violence. You've got it and I want it. I'll do any damn thing to get it. By hook or by crook. Mode of passion. And ashuchihi, by dirty dealings also. Harsha shokan vita karta. And when he's successful, he's jubilant. And when he's unsuccessful, he's full of lamentation. There's all this drama, up and down, and carried away this way and that way. He's the worker in passion. And ayukta prakrita stabdha shato naiskritiko lashaha vishadi dhirga sutri cha karta tamasutrite. In the mode of ignorance, tamasa, ayukta, he doesn't follow the scriptures, so he doesn't know what to do, what not to do. Ayukta, he acts improperly. Prakrita, he's materialistic. And stabdha, obstinate, like a donkey. You try to get a donkey to move, you can't reason with him, you can't argue with him. He's just obstinate. Maybe you can hit him. Even sometimes you hit him and he doesn't move. The person in the mode of ignorance is like that. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what not to do. But once he decides either to do something or not do it, he's obstinate. That's his nature. Materialistic, obstinate, stupid. Shuto, lying, deceitful. Naiskritiko, expert in insulting others. That's appreciated in Kali Yuga. If someone's very expert in insulting others, then people are, wow, that was cool. The I read an essay one time about the craft of the artful put down. It's a fine art of Kali Yuga to be able to insult someone very expertly. Everyone will think, fantastic. Oh, Naishkritika, a person in the mode of ignorance. You know, we sometimes see that people may be stupid, they may be drunk, they may be so many things, but they're still their expert in hurling insults at others. Naishkritika. And Alasaha means lazy. And Vishadi, always lamenting. I know some people, you know, everyone's been unfair to them. Life has been unfair to them. ISKCON's been unfair to them. Their wife was unfair to them. Their parents were unfair to them. The government, you know, they have words to describe everyone who's done them dirty, which is everyone there is. Sometimes it's not everyone's fault, it's my fault. I'm no good. I'm drowning their sorrows in alcohol. Vishadi, lamenting. Person in the mode of goodness never laments. Nashochati, nakankati. Person in the mode of passion is sometimes up and sometimes down. These days they say bipolar. And the person in the mode of ignorance, he's just always lamenting. Someone told a joke that there was some woman sitting on a doorstep and she was lamenting, I'm so miserable, I'm so miserable. I have no place to go, I'm just sitting here, I'm so miserable. And some shopkeeper saw that this woman was so miserable, so he gave her a place to sit, gave her, you know, tried to comfort her. So she was sitting there, I was so miserable, I was so miserable. Vishadi, always lamenting. And Dirghasutri. This word is quite a vivid term. Dirghasutri. Sutri means having a thread. And Dirghasutri. Dirgha means long. So he has a long thread.
Procrastination.
Anything he could do on Tuesday could just as well be done on Friday or next Tuesday. He stretches it out. Dirghasutri. Karta tamasa uchyate. This is the worker in the mode of ignorance. So the relevant term, naishkritika, expert in insulting others. He's very happy with himself when he's able to pull off a good insult. Well, this king was very proud that I insulted Maharaj Bharat very nicely. Not Maharaj Bharat, I insulted this palanquin carrier very nicely. But later he realized that I've committed a great offense. He's a great soul. And Madena, by madness, I was thinking I'm the king. And so I insulted him. So, being intelligent, he surrendered. The only way to be freed from the effects of Vaishnav aparad is to seek the forgiveness of the Vaishnav one has offended. So, Maharaj Ruhugana, very intelligently, surrendered in this way. And instead of losing everything, he was benefited. Jagbharat was very kind to him and instructed him in the science of Krishna consciousness. worthy king's enlightenment. Okay. Any questions? Comments?
First one is, if you can, the very beginning of the verse, if you can read that, because I have a question on that.
About his words being contradictory?
Yeah.
The that relates to the previous statements. I would have to, this is a little inconvenient for that. You have Fifth Canto, Volume 1 over there? Canto 5?
Fifth canto.
Yeah, that's the one. That seems a little contradictory. Here's this palanquin carrier who's been called bad and stupid. And Drudpad said, whatever you've spoken sarcastically is certainly true. Actually, it's the body that's the carrier. The load carried by the body doesn't belong to me. I'm spirit soul. I'm different from the body. I'm not the carrier. The body is the carrier. I haven't labored to carry the palanquin. You said you're not doing your work. You're right, I didn't do the work. Because I'm not this body. The body may be fat or thin, but no learned person would say these things. I'm neither fat nor skinny. So you're right when you say that I'm not very stout. I'm not stout because I'm not this body. Oh, he's in this way speaking. You've accused me of being dead though alive, but all I can say is that it's that way everywhere, because everything material has a beginning and an end. You're thinking you're the king, the master, you're trying to order me. But these positions are temporary. Today you're the king, I'm your servant. Tomorrow it may be the other way. These are temporary circumstances. Everyone's being forced by the laws of nature. Therefore no one is master, no one is servant. But if you think that you're the master and that I'm the servant, I'll accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? So, in this way, he's speaking in such a way that it seems contradictory. What can I do for you? So the Maharaj Ruhuguna began in that way, that you're speaking in a contradictory way that I could understand that you're a great soul.
Next question is just, sometimes Krishna, actually most of the times Krishna...
Hey you guys, what's going on?
He deals with... He deals with his relatives in relation, like he would offer obeisances to seniors, he would embrace equals, you know, and he would give shelter, you know, to the, so I'm just thinking about, you mentioned Daksha and Shiva. So why wouldn't Shiva also...
That's conventional. One should offer respect to one's father-in-law.
Right.
But Shiva was in deep meditation. He was in samadhi thinking of Sankarshan, the personality of Godhead. So then he didn't get up.
So with meditation, similarly like with Shamika Rishi.
Shamika Rishi. Normally he would have gotten up and offered respects to the king, but he was in meditation, so he didn't do that. So these are external conventions that, according to age, according to position, according to varnashram, this person should act that way, this person should act this way. But shrotavyasya shrutasya cha, a person who's on the highest platform of spiritual realization, tasya karyam na vidyate, for him there's no duty to perform. He's transcendental to prescribed duties. He may perform his prescribed duties anyway, just to instruct others. But actually, there are no duties for him because he's transcendental. So Daksha should have known that he's Lord Shiva. He's engaged in the service of the Lord. Instead, he thought, he's my son-in-law. Why didn't he stand up?
Maharaj, there seems to be a very strong tendency of getting angry when you attain any kind of power. Either as like Daksha, he's a Vrajapati, but he's a very accumulated a lot of potency and power by his.
That's the danger.
He was so effulgent, and he was so effulgent, and then Maharukan as a king, and some of the sages, because they, just by their austerities, their mystic power increases, so that makes them more. They're more like victimized by anger because of that power.
And then they lose their power.
Yeah, so how do we, like, with
devotees... Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said...
We are also accumulating power by our sadhana and so on, so how do we avoid...
Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this is the quality of a Vaishnava, that he has to be very humble and meek.
It's a practical way of, like...
These are the qualities of any saintly person. And a Vaishnava has all the saintly qualities. Should be very humble and meek. The persons in passion develop this abhiman, pride. The demons, dhamparo parpo abhimanascha, krodha paru shunevacha, agana chabhijatasya. Sampadamasuri, artha sampadamasuri. These are the demonic qualities. Now the person with divine qualities should be the opposite. Trinadapi suni chaina. You practice to be very humble and meek. Due to contact with the mode of passion, they're kamesha krotesha, adagurunasamukhama. Ashano mahapapma vidhena nihabhaina. By mode of passion, lust and anger develop. Therefore, hearing. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavatam. By serving a devotee, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, sthitam sattve prasiditi, one comes to the platform of goodness. Tada rajas tamo bhava, kama go bhariyas triya, chaitaitara nabhidham, stitam sattva, prasidhati. So, it's not enough just to be designated, I am a temple president, I am a sannyasi, I am a big donor, I am a this, I am a that, and then become proud and puffed up. One should be very humble and meek. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they're big men. They're powerful government ministers. And then they became powerful renouncers. They gave up unlimited wealth and aristocracy to surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. They were learned scholars. They knew so many languages. They were expert in doing things, they wrote so many books, but they remained always humble and meek. Sanatana Goswami was the emblem of humility. So we should follow in the footsteps of the Goswamis.
So, Maharaj, the offenses which are mentioned in the scripture, they're all offenses against the pure devotees of the Lord. So does it mean that
there's seva aparad, there's Vaishnava aparad, guru aparad. The seva aparad means offenses to the Lord in the temple. That's also not good. But Vaishnava aparad is worse.
So when we say Vaishnava aparad, does it also mean like a practicing devotee or just a pure devotee?
One thing is you don't know what's going to happen. That mother of Dhruva Maharaj committed an offense to the young boy. He later became a great devotee. And she had to suffer for the offense. When she offended him, he was just a little kid and just a king's son.
So it applies to non-devotees as well, right?
He became a Vaishnava. You don't know which non-devotee may become a great Vaishnava. Therefore, Prabhupada said the devotee tries not to offend even an ant. And what to speak of Vaishnava aparad? Vaishnava aparad is... Committing Vaishnava aparads is the summit of recklessness. One has gone through so much trouble to cultivate Krishna consciousness, and then he offends a Vaishnava. It's mad.
But the offenses, does it mean the verbal or even the mental?
That's described in 10th canto. There are three kinds of offenses: mental, verbal, and corporal. They're increasingly severe. Mental offense is also not good. It's mentioned someplace, if one doesn't feel happy to see a Vaishnava, that's an offense. It's a mental offense. Vaishnava has come, and we're not happy, we're unhappy that he's come. That's an offense. Why has he come?
We've heard that in Kali Yuga that
we don't all have to suffer reactions for mental... We hope not. Trouble with mental offenses is that they next become verbal. What's in the mind tends to come out. Yeah, so we're not happy he's come. We look at him with a crooked glance. And then we treat him negligently. Very hard to keep things just in the mind. But better to keep it there than to press the send button. That's the verbal offense. We were reading how the internet or how man-made machines promote rubbish. So the internet becomes a vehicle for Vaishnava aparads. One says things that one would never say to a person face to face, but by the grace of the impersonal media, one says these things and broadcasts them. One has the opportunity to commit enormous Vaishnava aparads. And we know people who basically wiped out their spiritual credit by committing offenses on the internet. So one says something, then one amplifies it by saying it to millions of people. The social network becomes the network for his doom. Is caught in the net of his offenses, and is dragged down.
Because you're actually writing your mental offense on the paper, And you yes. kind of still feel it's a mental offense, but it becomes verbal because
it becomes verbal.
Because you sent it, yeah.
It was in your mind, and now you have a chance to speak your mind. And when you speak your mind, it becomes a verbal offense.
So, two things. I would imagine it's also offensive to be reading these things on the internet.
That also. One should go away. If one is, if you're in a place where offenses are being committed, like the arena of daksha, then the persons who heard the offenses, they blocked their ears and went away, rather than become complicit by listening. So if you find yourself in a chat room or a site or a group or whatever it is where people are committing offenses, and you stay there to see what they'll say next, and you're relishing the Vaishnava aparads. Like that, who was it, that king of Kalinga? Someone was insulting Balaram and this king was smiling. Balaram later knocked out his teeth. So, or in the arena of the Asat Sabha, where Draupadi was insulted, so many were killed just for being complicit. They didn't object. They didn't take part. They didn't encourage. But they didn't object. They also had to suffer. They sat there, that's all. Sitting there and doing nothing, that's also an offense.
What about for a devotee who feels that somebody committed an offense against him, but is it possible that it wasn't? I mean, the person didn't actually commit an offense, but they're thinking it's an offense.
Who's thinking? The supposedly offended person is
yeah.
thinking? Even that. Who was it? There's some story about Rupa Goswami. Do you know that story?
We were talking about it in Mayapur months ago. Yeah.
Tell that story.
There was Rupa Goswami was in meditation. And he was seeing Pastama Krishna, which was very...
Seeing what?
He in his meditation, he saw Krishna's lila. It was a very funny moment in Krishna's lila. And he had his eyes closed, but he laughed out very loudly. And just at that time, there was one Vaishnava who was crippled, who kind of would walk in a funny way, was just passing in front of him. And he thought he was laughing at him, and got very insulted, very like hurt. Oh, he's... And immediately, Rupa Goswami's meditation went, he's broke, he couldn't see anymore the pastime. Everything, he got covered over completely because he offended a devotee without even intending to offend him. He was completely... Then Sanatana Goswami, he told it to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami said, "You must have offended a Vaishnava." He said, "I don't know whom did I offend?" He said, "Just invite all these Vaishnavas for prasadam, and the one who doesn't come, he must have offended him." And then he got him, he begged forgiveness, So that's what, so he found out how that person didn't come, he went to him, begged forgiveness, and then, he was probably back in the lila. Yeah.
Okay, so just listening to that, it sounds like it's better to just be completely alone because you get a mental devotee and he thinks you're offending him when you're not. And then you got to suffer the reaction. Better not to have anything to do with it.
Still they'll think he doesn't want to associate with us.
It doesn't seem like there's any hope.
Shunada peace who need change. Then the devotees will see he's very humble and they'll all love him. When devotee is very humble, then he has no enemies. Everyone will think he's such a dhira dhira janapriya priya kaya.
I mean, this example, Rupa Goswami, you're not going to get any humbler than Rupa Goswami.
No.
And still.
But therefore, it was very quickly, because he was thinking, I must have offended someone. The puffed up person is thinking, everyone's offending me. But the humble person is thinking, I must have offended someone. Why am I not making advancement? I must have committed some offense. So then even if he commits some offense, very quickly he rectifies that because he's thinking that way. Just going off by oneself doesn't remedy. One will go off by oneself and think so many things about relations and commit offenses that way. And one can't maintain anyway being off by oneself. That will be very difficult. One will accumulate offensive thoughts and come out again. There's no substitute. One has to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direction and actually cultivate this mentality. Janadapi Shunichana, Chavardapi Sivishana.
You said that person who is in mood of ignorance is always lamenting and is always, you know, thinking that everybody has done, you know, some bad to me. Even as practicing devotees, you know, even despite engaging in service, chanting, participating in kirtan, we sometimes, you know, are in a situation where we are lamenting, or we see somebody who is in a situation who is always lamenting. So what's, like, how can practically we transcend from that situation?
Yes, by devotional service. Otherwise, someone's a devotee, but there are different grades of devotees. There are those in passion, those in ignorance, those in goodness. That means they're progressively coming out of their conditioning, that they may still be having the superficial effects of ignorance, of passion. So by hearing Nityam Bhagavata Seva, by hearing Bhagavatam regularly, by rendering service to a pure devotee regularly, one is purified by chanting.
Maharaj, we usually have the tendency to, like, when you're in such a some situation where it's no fault of yours, but you are in a situation that you want to prove that you're right always, like, because sometimes, like you want to fight it out, and sometimes you feel, okay, let it go. But most of the time, like, there is a false ego, like, we want to prove ourselves.
Yeah,
so
that's
how
dangerous.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have to cultivate Krishna consciousness. We become free from that. Otherwise, we start working ourselves up. There's an old vaudeville routine about that, how the mind works. You know about the man who needed a jack? It's an old...
Needed a jack?
Yeah, his car broke down on the side of the road and he needed a jack to fix his tire. And he didn't have one. So then he thought, well, I'll go, you know, I'll walk down the road till I find some house, and then I'll, you know, I'll borrow a jack and fix the flat tire and then bring it back. So he was began walking, and he thought that this shouldn't be a problem. I'll get, you know, I'll find somebody's house, and, you know, anybody would lend me a jack. That's not a big thing. No problem. But what if he won't lend me the jack? Then what would I do? Then I would really be in difficulty. I'm just traveling on the side of the road, and due to no fault of mine, my car is broken down, and I need a jack. And what kind of person is it who wouldn't lend a stranded traveler a jack? I mean, how mean would a person have to be? how callous, how insane, how stingy, how just, you know, why should there be such people in human society who wouldn't even give a stranded traveler a jack? And he's going on thinking like that and thinking like that. Finally he came to a house. He knocked on the door. Man opened it. He said, "Keep your damn jack." So in this way the mind works. You know, we work ourselves up and work ourselves up and work ourselves up. So one has to be careful about mental concoction.
It's like a hissing snake, like going on all the time, like you're ready, but you're trying to like lower yourself, but one time you will blast it out.
Yeah, therefore we have to be careful. If a devotee is actually humble, if he makes some mistake, then he'll quickly rectify it. Because he's cultivating a humble mentality, so if somehow he becomes proud, then he'll regret it. And the fire of offense will be, or the offense will be burnt up by the fire of sincere repentance. But if one is not practicing humility, then he's going on and on thinking about who he is and who other people are and what kind of people they are and why they did this and how could they have done that and don't they understand and da 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 da. So it's practically constitutional for him in his diseased condition to offend others. Those who are in the bodily concept of life, especially, they're thinking of their pride, their false prestige. So Vaishnav cultivates humility. Then even if by accident sometimes he loses his temper or commits an offense, then he tries to rectify it very quickly. If one persists in an offense, that's very... then he can lose everything. One should be very careful. Okay, anything else? All right. A little more kirtan?
Arti.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Bye.